Please take your Bible and open to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 103 and verse 1. And we'll read a couple of verses here, and then I have other verses that we'll look at as well throughout the message, some in the introduction and some a little bit later in the text of the message itself. But I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And that title comes from the first verse that we're going to look at today. There are a lot of different situations that come up in life. Some of them, of course, leave us a little bit indifferent. Some of them leave us happy. Some of those situations even leave us sad and discouraged. But one of the things that I notice as I look through the scriptures is that God encourages us through many of the writers of scripture to be a people of praise. People that would praise the Lord in spite of the circumstances that they're going through. So as we go through the outline today and as I deliver the message, I would like to give you this thought and have you to remember this, that there's actually power in praising the Lord. There's power in praising the Lord. Someone doesn't like us praising the Lord. His name is Satan. The devil does not like it when God's people are happy in the Lord or rejoicing in the Lord. The devil doesn't like that at all. He wants us to be sad and discouraged. He wants us to be walking around under the circumstances and living life without a smile on your face and without joy in your heart and without a spring in your step. I think, believe it or not, I think God knows that. And I think that's probably why several times in the Bible we are encouraged to praise the Lord or to rejoice. I'll show you some of that in just a little bit. But notice, if you would, Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Skip down, if you would, then to verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the text that I've chosen for today. I mentioned I'm going to look at several different scriptures today, and I hope you'll keep up with me as we go along. But let's just pray and ask God's help, and then we'll get started on the outline. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time and place that we have been able to get together and to sing songs and to worship you and praise you. And I just hope and pray that as we go through the message today, that our ears would be open and our hearts would be receptive, and that we would be encouraged to be a people of praise, people that in spite of what's going on in our life, still find joy in the Lord and in all his, as it mentioned here, benefits. There are so many benefits to being a Christian. And I'm so glad that I know you as my Lord and Savior. I'm sure many people here feel the exact same way. Please speak to our hearts today and bless this thought and this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, don't lose Psalm 103 because we're definitely coming back there. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. But would you look with me at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1? So into the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter number 3 and verse number 1. It says here, Philippians 3, 1, Finally, my brethren, look at this, rejoice in the Lord. Please notice all the words there, rejoice in the Lord. To write these same things to you, to me, is indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Again, rejoice in the Lord. And then look at chapter 4, if you would, and verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here's two examples from the New Testament, just very quickly. We're still introducing the message. And it reminds us here to rejoice in the Lord. Not your favorite football team. Not in the weather. Not in whether or not the service is short. Or the sermon is short. All right? Not in a new car, a new home, or new clothes. But rejoice in the Lord. And notice also it said always. So when things are going well and when things are not going well. The Bible tells us this, doesn't it, in the Old Testament, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this matter of praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, this is very, very important to the life, and I'm going to say successful life, of the Christian. Let's look at another scripture here. We're going to go back to the book of Psalms. Again, don't lose Psalm 103 because we're going to go back there again. But look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61. There are many verses that we could look at today. We'll look at several, but we won't hit them all. I know that. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Notice in particular again verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. This matter of praising the Lord is a very important and very powerful tool that we have at our disposal. Remember, I mentioned there is someone who doesn't want you to praise the Lord, and that is the devil or Satan. So he's going to do whatever he can do to keep you from praising God. But you know, one of the best tools against him we have is praising God. It's a powerful tool that God's given to us to lift us out of the muck and the mire and the discouragement and despondency that sometimes we face. This tool of praise is so very important, and I really want to stress that to you today as we go through the outline, how important it is for you and I to learn to praise the Lord no matter what. No matter what's happening in your life. Give him praise and give him honor and give him glory no matter what's happening in your life. I'm going to talk about four different things today in the outline. Number one, the practice of praise. Number two, the passion of praise. Number three, the purpose of praise. And number four, the persons of praise. Let's start with the practice of praise really quickly here and just mention the practice of praise requires that you and I be consecrated to the Lord. Consecrated means that we are given over to him. We belong to him. We know that. We're dedicated to him. We're consecrated to him. There's a prayer that's given to us, and by the Lord Jesus, by the way, Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, this prayer that is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, and in this prayer, which is actually a model prayer or an outline for prayer, that Jesus gave to his disciples, there's a phrase in there which says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Well, how does Jesus' name get hallowed by us on this earth that's so much tainted by sin and evil? How does Jesus' name get hallowed on this earth? By our consecrated lives. You remember reading this not long ago, if you're following the Bible reading schedule? Not long ago, we read this where Moses was instructed to take Aaron and his sons, and they slew an animal, and then they took some of that blood, and they put some on the tip of the right ear, they put some on the thumb of the right hand, and then they put some on the toe, the big toe, of the right foot. It was to consecrate the priests, you know, the sons of Aaron. It was to consecrate them to the Lord. By the way, when the blood was put on the tip of the right ear, it was showing that their hearing was given to the Lord. They would listen for God's voice and try their best to hear what he had to say to them. On the thumb of the right hand would show that their hands were given over to the Lord for service, to give God glory with their service and all that they would do with their hands. And then the blood on the big toe of the right foot was to demonstrate the fact that their feet were dedicated to the Lord or consecrated to the Lord, and they would walk in a path of righteousness, the path of righteousness that God designed for them. Well, there's a great application here, I think, for all of us as believers, because we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood has been applied to us, hopefully, by the way, on the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot, which in similar fashion would show that our hearing was given to the Lord, our hands and our service was given to the Lord, and our feet were given to the Lord to walk in God's design path for us. The best way for you and I to get to the place where we are praising the Lord and hallowing his name on this sin-cursed earth is by being consecrated to the Lord. Did you notice this too? The right ear, the hands, and then the big toe from top to bottom, given over to the Lord, to first of all hear what he has to say, secondly to serve him and do what he wants us to do with our lives, but then also to walk the path that he's chosen for us. The practice of praise requires consecration from head to toe. Lord, I belong to you. I am not my own. I'm going to do my best to honor you and to praise you with this life that you've given me. The practice of praise requires consecration. It also requires contemplation. Contemplation has to do with our thought life and what we focus on and what we think about and where our thoughts are. Contemplation means I'm spending my days thinking about the Lord. Now, I know that there's a lot of things in this world that are vying for our attention. There are a lot of things that are trying to capture our thoughts. Sadly, there are a lot of things that do capture our thoughts, things other than the Lord. Which is why this requires effort on our part to use our thoughts and our contemplation to think about God. And I want to encourage you, if you notice in Psalm 103 where we started, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." By the way, there's the consecration, isn't it? "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Thinking about him, contemplating him, thinking about all the ways that God's been so very gracious and good to you. Contemplating all his benefits. I want to encourage you today to spend as much time as you can contemplating what God has done for you, what God can do for you, and what God will do for you. Contemplation. The practice of praise requires consecration, contemplation, but also conversation. Conversation. And I want to suggest, first of all, conversation with God. I don't know if you find yourself doing this or not, but I hope you do. Find yourself talking to the Lord anywhere about anything. In other words, you have an ongoing conversation with him all the time. I don't remember who the man's name was, but it was said of a famous Bible-believing pastor or preacher from years ago that if you wanted to have a discussion with him or a conversation with him, you had to interrupt him because he was always having a conversation with God. He was talking to God about everything. I think it's good for us as believers to get into that frame of mind where we're constantly talking with God. We're having this ongoing conversation with him all the time, seeking his advice, seeking his protection, seeking his help, seeking his direction. A conversation with God that is just ongoing, constantly. The practice of praise requires conversation, not only with God, but even with others. By the way, don't be afraid to sing out during church. Amen. Don't be afraid to sing out. One of the things that you probably have noticed about me, and Sarah I think is the same way, but I'll mention me first. The Weisses sing out. It doesn't matter if we're in the front of the church or the back of the church or the middle of the church. When we sing out. You've met me, of course, you've met my brothers, hopefully you've met my dad when he was alive, and I think we got it from Dad, but we sing out. Now, I can't speak much for the sisters, but for the brothers anyway, I know this is true. And in particular, myself and my brother Fred and my brother Mike, we sing out. When we go to meetings, in fact, we sing out. Just let me mention this. Brother Tom and Brother Lowell, you've gone with me. And Brother Kevin, you've gone with me. I don't know that others have gone that are here this morning, but I know you men have gone with me. And when we go to those men's prayer meetings for revival, and it's just men in the room, and everybody's singing out, isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? Oh, my word. It almost puts chills on the back of your neck to hear all these men. And for me personally, when I get to go to a pastor's meeting and most of the people in the room are pastors and most pastors I know sing out, oh man, that'll put chills on the back. It's so, I don't know, it's just out there. It just envelops the room. It envelops everybody in the room. So when I say the practice of praise requires conversation, it's first of all conversation with God, but it's also conversation with others. And you maybe don't look at it this way, but when we're singing the hymns, there's a sense in which that's a conversation with others about God. How good he is, how wonderful he is, how compassionate he is, how caring he is, how wonderful he is to give us his son as our Savior. I mean, it's a conversation with others back to the Lord. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way, but that's kind of what it is. And then I think about this also, conversation with God, with others. Praise, the practice of praise, is also a conversation with yourself. And I mention this because you can praise the Lord when you're driving your car. You can praise the Lord when you're getting dressed. You can praise the Lord when you're eating your meal. You can praise the Lord when you're walking somewhere, you know, to spend the time and having this conversation, like the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Praising the Lord and having this conversation with yourself, there's no one else around, but yet there is someone else, and that's our God, whom we are praising. So, bless the Lord, O my soul. The practice of praise requires consecration, contemplation, and then conversation. And I would encourage you about this. Don't only do praise when you're at church. Blow someone's mind and praise the Lord in a grocery store. Really, have you ever noticed this about little ones? 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they don't care. Huh? They learn some song in Sunday school, man, they're on aisle number 5 and they're just belting it out. They don't care who else is in the store. Now mom and dad are going, shh, shh, quiet, shh. Of course, we shouldn't do that, should we? We shouldn't stifle that joy and that rejoicing that's in their heart. But why is it that we don't do that? Why are we so timid about that? Why are we so timid sometimes about just when something good happens and there are other people around? Why are we so timid about saying, well, praise the Lord. God's been so good to me. We should be vocal about that. The practice of praise. Number 2, I want to speak to you this morning about the passion of praise. The best praise that I think God enjoys is praise that is passionate. Passionate. Not something that the song leader had to drag out of you. Okay, let's all smile now as we sing. You should be up here sometimes and look over the audience. There's sometimes not a lot of smiles happening. It almost seems like sometimes that, I won't say that. There should be smiles, though. There should be joy. There should be rejoicing coming from the heart. There should be passion involved. Instead of, well, now we have to do this. Why should our praise be like that? Now I have to do this? Instead of, now I get to do this. This is fun. This is exciting. You'll see me and you'll hear me sometimes mention about the, like I did today, about the hymns that we have and how great they are as far as reminding us of Bible doctrine and Bible truths and so forth like that. That's something, it means a lot to me, which is why I mention it. But they're like sermons set to music. And I have a few sermons that I've preached through the years that just took the words of the verses and I preached those. You can do that with a lot of these hymns. Praising the Lord should involve passion. It should involve your heart. It should involve your energy. It should be coming from within where you are honestly praising the Lord with all your heart. Look at our text again. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you sang the hymns this morning, did it come from your soul? Did it have passion behind it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. What? And all that is within me? Looks like passion to me. What do you think? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You see, praise to be pleasing to the Lord requires passion. It requires the spiritual side of us being passionate about all that God has done for us and who He is and how great He is and how great He's been to us. It shouldn't be something, again, that has to be dragged out of us. It shouldn't be something that is forced. It should be something that just flows from within. And of course, that passionate praise should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In a lot of places today, the quote-unquote praise service is all about making the audience feel good. Now, I believe this with all my heart. If you're saved and you love God and you're putting your passion behind it, you'll enjoy that. But the praise is not to be about us. The praise is to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. It should exalt Him. It should exalt Him. Whether or not you enjoy it really shouldn't matter. What really should matter is, does the Lord enjoy it? Like I mentioned, the men praying, you know, and singing at the men's prayer meetings. I don't know about you guys who've gone with me, but I think the Lord enjoys that. I really do. I mean, to hear the room and just the whole room is filled with their voices, and I think the Lord enjoys that. I think the devil does not enjoy that. But I don't care. Amen? Because as long as the Lord enjoys it, that's the main thing. Praise should be passionate and should exalt the Lord Jesus. In fact, I'm just going to mention these real quick. Preaching should exalt the Lord Jesus. Praying should exalt the Lord Jesus. Singing should exalt the Lord Jesus. And of course, our praise should exalt the Lord Jesus. And it should be passionate. Notice our text again says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Praise should not be something, and I've mentioned this a couple times, that's forced or dragged out of us, or something that, you know, our heart is not really in it. Isn't it amazing? It is to me, probably is to you too if you think about it. But isn't it amazing that people will sit for 3 hours on a hard metal bench in the cold and scream at the top of their lungs for their favorite team? And some of those folks, when they go to church, barely open their mouth. Some don't even pick up a hymnal. I don't know what you think, but to me, that's a shame. That's a shame. Now, I'm not saying that when you come to church, you should act like an idiot. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you got to paint up your face like they do at the football games and wear all this ridiculous stuff. And I've never had a cheese head on my head, and I probably never will, though I like the Packers and I root for them. But I'm not saying when you come to church you have to be on the ridiculous side of things, but don't you think that when we come to church it should be joyful and happy and loud? And yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have a good voice. Do you know that nobody cares? Let me just do this little survey real quick. How many professional singers are in the audience? See what I mean? Nobody cares. There's not a professional among us. There really isn't. You can sing at the top of your lungs and worship and praise the Lord. And listen, it won't bother anybody. Just let it rip. Give God the praise and the glory that he deserves. It's here that we bring our voices together. But you can do this, of course, when you're alone as well. You can praise the Lord and worship him and use those voices that you've got to lift up his name and to glorify him. And I hope it makes the devil mad. I hope it makes the devil mad. This is the passion of praise. Number one was the practice of praise. Number two, the passion of praise. Number three this morning is the purpose of praise. Look at the verses again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Whose name is to be exalted when we praise the Lord? The Lord's name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There's only one who's worthy of praise. Only one. And that's God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but I remember this is several years back, certain place that I used to go every year to be encouraged spiritually and as a pastor and all that. But I watched as the years went by And the man who led the meeting seemed to be receiving way too much attention, way too much honor, way too much glory, way too much, and I don't hesitate to use this word, worship. And it bothered me to the point where I stopped going. Because I'm not going to this meeting to worship some man. I'm going to this meeting to worship God and to learn about Him. All the attention doesn't belong on some human being. All the attention, though, does belong to our Savior. So the purpose of praise is to praise the Lord, to praise God, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him worship. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who's worthy of our praises. And did you know in the Bible that God says, I'll not share my glory with another? Psalm 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So the purpose of praise, again, is not for us. Oh, you know, I love going to those praise services because they really thrill my heart. I always feel so good when I'm done. Not trying to be unkind, but it doesn't really matter if you feel good or not. Praise is about the Lord and worshiping Him and whether or not He feels good and whether or not He enjoys it and whether or not He is uplifted and glorified. Our purpose is to exalt Him, not ourselves. The purpose of praise. The last thing I wanted to mention this morning is the persons, plural, the persons of praise. Number one, the practice. Number two, the passion. Number three, the purpose. And then lastly this morning, the persons of praise. Well, there's only two groups here. Number one are the saved, and number two is the Savior. I don't know if you agree with me or not. You probably do, but people that are not saved can't praise and worship the Lord like those who are saved. Many of you, just like me, we went to church before we got saved, and we sang a lot of the hymns. Some of them are similar to ours, some of them are not, but depending what kind of church you went to. But people that are not saved cannot worship and praise the Lord like the saved can. And it's because they don't know the Savior. They don't have the Spirit of God living within them. Those who know the Savior and have the Spirit of God living within them, they are the only ones, really, that can rightly claim Jesus as their Lord and can rightly praise the Lord for all that He's done in their life. So when I think about that, I think what a shame it is when the saved don't praise the Lord like they should. And some of the unsaved are more faithful in this than we are. God, help us to worship You and praise You like You deserve. The saved. And then the other group is, first of all, the saved, but the other group is a group of one, the Savior. The Savior. That's why the psalm said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The Savior. We've come to worship Him. We've come to praise Him. We've come to learn of Him. Friend, it's all about Him. If you came for some other reason this morning, you came for the wrong reason. It's all about Him. Now, we're in the book of Psalms. And I want to encourage you to go a couple of pages to your right to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And this psalm is a famous one. It's repeating the same statement over and over and over again. You'll remember it probably when you see it. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Did you notice that all of those times the words are exactly the same? Wonder why God repeated that so often in this one psalm. Could it be so that man gets the point? Somebody said years ago, you know, if God said something once, we should pay attention. If he said it twice, we should really pay attention. Well, here he's got more than twice, right? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I'd like for you to look at verse 43 of the same psalm. The last verse says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That word understand, it literally means this: to discern or to get. We'll just use the words discern. So whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall discern the loving kindness of the Lord. Has God been good to you? Well, of course he has. Of course he has. If you don't realize that yet, maybe you're not praising the Lord like you should. Can you see that from what we just read? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You see, when we don't praise the Lord like we should, no matter what the circumstances are, there's two things that are going to happen. Number one, joy is not going to come. And number two, early deliverance may not come either. When you don't praise the Lord in spite of the circumstances, joy will not come, and early deliverance may not come either. And I could add a third based on this last verse here. You're not going to understand the goodness of God because you're not praising him. You're not praising him. We've talked this morning about bless the Lord, O my soul, the practice of praise, the passion of praise, the purpose of praise, and the persons of praise. Can I just leave you with this thought? Do your very best to praise the Lord regardless, no matter what the circumstances are. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him worship. It's almost like, and I don't really like these words so much, but it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you praise the Lord, the more you'll have to praise the Lord for. Does that make sense? No matter what, regardless, give him praise. The devil won't like it, but I don't care. Give the Lord praise. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. Heavenly Father, I've tried my best this morning to encourage your children to praise you regardless. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what circumstances they find themselves in, regardless of whether or not they're enjoying what's going on or not enjoying what's going on, help us to praise you and worship you regardless. And like I said just a moment ago, the more we learn to praise the Lord, the more we'll have to praise God for. Please help this to be a reality for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.